It is Friday night, and that means it is time to stop and take a deep breath and then circle back to some of the other stories that made headlines this week. And we are doing it with two extremely smart and funny people, CNN commentator and nationally syndicated columnist and friend, Essie Kupp is with us, as well as comedian and founder of Nowhere Comedy, Ben Glieb. Okay, you two, I have a plethora of fun stuff to talk about. The first one, though, is a little close to home for you, Essie, because it involves your friend, Meghan McCain. Surprising news from the daytime talk world. Meghan is leaving The View after nearly 4 years. I want to just show how she presented it today on The View. I think yesterday, but today-ish is the news. So take a look.
I am here to tell all of you, my wonderful co-hosts and the viewers at home, that this is going to be my last season here at The View. I will be here through the end of July to finish out the season with all of you, which I am grateful for. This was not an easy decision. It took a lot of thought and counsel and prayer and talking to my family and my close friends. And, you know, look, COVID has changed the world for all of us, and it changed the way, at least for me, the way I am looking at life, the way I'm living my life, the way I want my life to look like.
Just came off. Well, there you have it. And everybody kind of fell apart yesterday when that hit the TV. So, Essie, do you have any inside scoop or any reaction?
Well, look, this is, you know, how long to do this has been something Meghan and I have talked about for a long time. You know, this wasn't sudden. I think losing her dad, having a miscarriage, having a baby, getting sort of marooned in DC and not being able to see family through COVID, I think that really put some things into perspective for her, and it made her just kind of want to hunker down. And so I think it's the right decision for her. And I think she's got another great chapter ahead of her. You know, let's not forget she is young, she is talented, she is smart, she's funny. So she's got a lot of other things I'm sure she can do with her time now that she is deciding to kind of hang it up.
Yeah. Well, there's no shortage of news about her not, you know, having the greatest time on occasion with some of the co-hosts, a lot of fighting, you know, whether it was real or just on the set and not behind the scenes. But I do want to show this little thing that our producer, Christopher Mahoney, saw, which I didn't see, but I want to play it for you. This is Joy Behar's reaction to the news, but then you have to sort of watch at the end of what Joy says, what Joy does. So take a look at this.
I'm just eternally grateful to have had this opportunity here. So seriously, thank you from the absolute bottom of my heart. And I will still be here another month. So if you guys want to fight a little bit more, we have 4 more weeks.
Well, you know what? It is.
Oh, did you see that? Did you see that reaction? Oh, we caught it again. Astute producer Christopher Maloney saw that and said, wonder what that means. So, Ben Glieb, I'm going to let you weigh in on that. Is that just a, wow, that's a lot to take in? Or is that a, what else could it be? Ben, did you seriously not unmute yourself? Are you seriously muted after all these months and months?
No, I'm unmuted. I always mouth things first just to, you know, give the audience kind of a home challenge. You can hear me now, right?
I can hear you now, yes.
Nice. Look, that was definitely trauma, I think. It's a trauma flashback to all of their past fights. And I think she's probably ready for Meghan to go. I said this on your show once before, Ashley. You know, Meghan's a friend of mine, too. I actually coached her in how to host on television years before ever made it onto The View. And one of the things I did not cover in my coaching for her was how to make constant national headlines with incendiary statements that I don't personally stand behind. So good for her for taking it to the next level and coming into her own as a TV host. But I think she did as much as she could in capturing the national conversation, and she wants to leave on top. So it makes a lot of sense to me. I'm proud of what she's done, even though I disagree with a lot of it.
Yeah, you know, because I've done a lot of ensemble shows. I've had a crossfire, and I did the cycle with people that for a living you have to argue with. And sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. But look, you take some of that home with you, and it's tough because sometimes it gets personal, and sometimes you feel personally attacked. There's no rules. There's no governor, right, at the table. There's no guardrails all the time to keep people from getting nasty or from you kind of losing it one day or, you know, so it's a messy process. And so I think there are a lot of emotions for all the people there, you know, at receiving this news as they did, you know, not much earlier than she said it on air.
Yeah, I disagree. Yeah. Okay, I don't think it's messy. How could you say that? I'm just trying to make a headline, see if maybe we get some of that.
Look at you go. All right, somebody who knows how to make a headline, or maybe she didn't know that she was going to make a headline, but boy, did she make a headline, was Gwen Berry. And prominent members of the GOP are outraged this week because the hammer thrower turned her back on the American flag while the national anthem was playing at the Olympic team trial. She placed third and she qualified for the Olympic team, but now some of those lawmakers are saying, she should be kicked off the team for that behavior. Berry, for her part, told BNC news organization that the anthem wasn't actually supposed to be playing at that time at all. So take a listen to what she said.
We went out to introduce ourselves to the crowd. Coincidentally, the national anthem was playing and they asked us to stand on the podium and then the anthem played. In that moment, I feel like it was a setup.
So, Ben, she's calling it a setup, but while she was standing there with her back turned, she also was holding a T-shirt that was, it said activist athlete on it. So it seemed like she was kind of ready, you know, to be on the podium with a T-shirt saying activist athlete. Does that look like a setup?
I mean, they might have played the anthem at a time earlier than she was told it was going to happen. So maybe it was a setup of her protest happening before she was ready for it to happen. So I think that's kind of a weird argument because she could have been turned during the length of the entire song. But I don't at all disagree with her ability to do so, with her right to do so. And of course, a lot of the Republican members of our Congress rushed to call her un-American, to say she should be kicked off the team. People that are against cancel culture aren't against it when it suits their needs. And I guess it just seems so hypocritical yet again. I mean, if I can just summarize sort of today's Republican Party stances on racial justice issues, it seems you cannot do constitutionally protected peaceful protests. You can do violent protests, though, when you're attempting an insurrection. You cannot take a knee while others stand for the flag, but you can use the flag to beat and kill police officers. There's a lot of hypocrisy going on. You can't teach critical race theory just acknowledging the effects of our racist past, but you can't have racist Confederate statues. It's just a constant hypocrisy that doesn't make sense at all. And so if you believe in the Constitution, how about believing in people's right to protest our flag and our government, which is the exact purpose of what our country is and what makes our country so great? If they don't want that freedom, then maybe they should move out of America.
Sure, I will say this, and Essie, I'm going to come to you after the break. I will say this, though, that there were plenty of Democrats who were PO'd when they saw that, not just Republicans. Maybe the Republicans were noisy on Capitol Hill, but plenty of Democrats across the country thought, are you kidding me? This is the Olympics. This is where we're supposed to drop the politics and all come together globally, not just Americans, but globally. So, you know, and I get it. Sometimes that's the place where, you know, the protests actually are really well heard, but that's an uncomfortable one, even for Democrats. Okay, well, Essie, you're first when we come up after the break, because I know you're going to love this one. Here's just a couple of the words to chew on over the break that apparently Brandeis University doesn't want you to say. Give it a go. Take a shot. Trigger warning. Tribe. Picnic. Are you kidding me, Picnic? The FAA is part of this, too. So is Coca-Cola. We're going to go into the word police world in a moment. Yeah, that rock and roll music means it's Friday night. We're back with Essie Cupp and Ben Glebe. Okay, you two, the language police seem to be out in full force this week, discouraging words left and right. I'm talking about colleges and corporations and the government. Brandeis University released a list of what they call oppressive words, and that included the word picnic. Picnic. The FAA says you can't say the word cockpit, which I've always enjoyed saying, but you can't say that anymore. And here is Dagan McDowell responding to the Brandeis list on Fox Business Network. Take a look.
Don't go to any liberal arts college that is centered in the Northeast, because this is the garbage you're going to get taught rather than, well, math and science or anything that can get you a job. By the way, the origin of picnic is not racist. It's a French word derived from pique-nique. So can we all get over ourselves? I'm exhausted by the idiocy.
So I think she speaks for a lot of people. There are some who find these words very offensive. There are some who think that it's crazy to start, you know, whitewashing the language. But I'm putting the list up there, Essie, so you can look at it at the same time as commenting. But it does seem a bit excessive, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, and this is not news. I mean, I've been covering this, these lists that colleges put out, for what seems like, honestly, two decades. I mean, I went back to find some of the writing I'd done on these lists that pop up every now and again. And it's absurd. This is the kind of stuff that people make fun of college for. And you don't have to say liberal arts college anymore. That's all of college. It's all of college. They're all this way now.
Yeah, it's not just the Northeast, right, Essie? It's not just, pop that list back up while Essie's talking so I can look at it.
All of college is kind of really infected by this now. And listen, I am sympathetic to wanting words to matter and want us to have more sensitive dialogues. This nonsense makes that impossible because people on Fox want to throw the whole conversation away, whereas there are important conversations to have about words and how we're using them. It is not this nonsense. I mean, just to think of it in plain terms, I mean, it feels like an M.C. Escher painting at some point, just evolving into itself over and over again. When you think, like, trigger warning came out as a term to avoid people feeling triggered by words, and now trigger warning itself is triggering its madness, and it deserves to be mocked.
Yeah. So I want to be real clear. Pop the list back up so I can tell you. And Brandeis says, okay, it's not the university that did it. It's kind of a student group that put it out, and we're not bound by it. But it's just something people can take.
It's always true. The teachers or the students. It's never the university, except it's the university.
Yes. Okay. So here's what they suggest. Instead of the words on your screen, instead of tribe, it should be friends. Instead of trigger warning, it should be content note. Oh, no. Go back. Go back to the list. Not this one yet. Okay, I'll do this one. Why ban it? Nope, we're going back to the list. Okay, so instead of take a shot, it is supposed to be give it a go instead. Rule of thumb, they don't like it because long time ago, legend had it, it meant that you can beat your wife as long as the switch that you use isn't bigger than the, you know, circumference of your thumb. It's certainly evolved to not mean that. Picnic has been taken off the list. But now the next graphic that we were showing, I do want to show that because it's really interesting. It's the phrase everything going on right now. They want to avoid using the phrase everything going on right now, which I thought needs a reason. And this is what they say. It means being vague about important issues, and it risks miscommunication and can also avoid accountability. And the FAA is also part of this, guys. It's not just Brandeis. The FAA has banned airmen and cockpit. Again, I get that one. And unmanned aerial system. They've changed that actually quite some time ago to uncrewed aerial system. Ben, do you think it makes a difference when these lists come out? Did you mute yourself again? I cannot believe you.
This is a commercial break and I have an angry dog. I have an angry dog. What do you want me to do? Sorry about that.
This is awesome. I need a trigger warning for you for when you're on.
Yes. Well, I had to mute myself because I was afraid I was going to say some of these very contentious words, and I didn't want to put your audience at risk of that. I think that this is a ridiculous concept mostly. I hope that when they release this list, they put trigger warning at the top of the list, banning the word trigger warning, just so people who were triggered by the list hopefully wouldn't be triggered by it. If you're not sure what words are offensive, a good rule of thumb is to just take a shot at whatever you think. Okay. And if you argue with your friends, have a picnic. You never know. Right. Maybe you'll end up on the same page.
I see what you did there. What's that, Essie?
Give it a go. Let's give it a go.
Let's give it a go. Because everything going on right now is so difficult.
Honestly, everything going on. I know that one was crazy.
You just give it a go.
That one did seem crazy to me. Okay, the last one is Coca-Cola also. You know when you want to get your name on a bottle and you fill it out online? Well, you couldn't. You could not autocomplete lesbian. What? This is the statement that they said. Alongside lesbian, other words were banned from the tool. That's the thing you fill out. As well as jihadists, Nazis, and QAnon, and Trump won. Lesbian since has been reinstated. You can get that now. I don't know about the others. I doubt it. But that's quite something. I got to go to break. When we come back, though, you guys, James Corden. James Corden's apologizing for one of his bits, and he's saying things are gonna change. I'm gonna get your reaction to it in just a moment when we come back with the lighter side of the news. We're back with SC Cup and Ben Glebe, who is notoriously on mute, so I'll give you the warning now. Okay, here's our next topic, you two. The late night talk show host, James Corden, has said that he's going to change his signature segment on his show because viewers said that it was anti-Asian. It's the segment called Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts. It's a bit where celebs are asked a question, and if they don't want to answer it, they have to eat something what he calls is gross. It's usually an exotic dish, but a petition got more than 45,000 signatures on it. Said the game almost always featured Asian dishes as the punishment food. So here's a look at Justin Bieber playing Spill Your Guts or Fill Your Guts.
Justin, I'm going to give you our trusty friend, the bull penis.
Ooh.
Okay, there it is right there. Yeah, okay. Justin.
Uh-huh.
Your wife, Haley, has some very famous friends that she is really close to.
Yeah, right.
Rank these friends of hers from your favorite to your least favorite.
Yeah, I think he chose probably. Listen, I don't think bull penis is so offensive. I know lots of people who live right here in America who would dig in on that. Okay, Essie, what do you think? He's actually apologizing. He says he's not going to do it anymore. He said, I'll take it out of the show. I'll change it.
Well, he must watch Banfield because I know we talked about it, on this show a week or so ago. And I thought that was a good idea. Listen, I love the setup and the stakes of that bit. And Andy Cohen does something similar on Watch What Happens Live. He does Plead the Fifth to really force celebrities who are used to staying on script to say something interesting. I think it's just best to find another mechanism to do that that doesn't alienate and mock and marginalize a huge part of the population in this country, especially one that is currently facing like rank discrimination. So good move on James Corden's part.
He had put the list up there, some of the foods he's featured: chicken feet, pig blood curds, bull penis you saw, 1,000-year-old egg, fish smoothie, a lot of those, obviously. And then I just want you to see his, I don't know if we got the words up there, but here's his statement that he actually put out. He said, we heard that story, and the next time we do that bit, we absolutely won't involve or use any of those foods. I have 2 minutes left, but I want to get this next one in because I think it's an important one as well. Tour de France. Holy cow, a cyclist collides with a fan's sign, which caused a horrible pileup. There were serious injuries to some of the riders. The fan has been arrested, faces 2 years behind bars, $35,000 fine. Take a look at the spectacular crash from NBC Sports.
That was a little closer than 126 as they've gone under that banner.
Oh!
A massive crash there. What has happened? Right on the side of the road there. Look at this. I don't know what happened there. Maybe they clipped the crowd, but whatever has happened, they are in a right mess down there at the moment now. How many riders?
Okay, so how many riders? You can count them. Does it even matter? Apparently it was some stupid sign to her grandmother and grandfather. But Ben Glebe, that's a heck of a punishment for holding out a sign and being an idiot.
It is, and clearly my punishment for being on mute earlier is I don't get to comment on the bull penis story, so that's fine. Maybe it's because I find all those foods delicious and not offensive in any culture, but fine. We'll move on to this story. Listen, of course, the person holding a sign saying, go grandma and grandpa, very strange. You have to assume that his grandparents were not in the race. But I think overall this is a net positive for the Tour de France. Whenever the Tour de France is covered, it's only because people are injecting themselves with blood or there's accidents. Because it's a very boring sport otherwise. They kind of need these melees to get anybody interested at all in the sport of cycling. I mean, it's a multi-day race where you just see people all right on each other's butts trying to bicycle past each other. They can't pass. Then they take a break for the night and nap and come back and start again the next day. That's not how races work. You don't get to nap during a race.
Oh, man.
It's a stupid sport.
I look at these pictures.
This kind of spices it up.
Hey, I got 10 seconds left, so we'll even it up, and Essie doesn't get to comment on the bicycle show. But, guys, thank you so much. You can always catch Essie Cup on CNN. She's awesome. And then Van Gleave, you can learn more about his show, Social Distancing Social Club, at sdscshow.com. Great to see you guys. Have a great weekend.
You too.